Just coming up to 28 minutes past seven on Tuesday night's Arena. Brian Bilson is a poet and author based in Oxford, and in his new collection, Alexa, What Is There to Know About Love?, he explores affairs of the heart in all kinds of scenarios, from the internet era all the way back to the ancient Greeks and indeed to cavemen. Known as the Banksy of poetry, humour is the hallmark of his work, full of wordplay and visual gags. Safe to say that if you're reading a Bilson poem, you want to be on your toes while doing so. Brian Bilson joins me now. Let's start with the title poem, Alexa, What Is There to Know About Love? Maybe you'd introduce it for us, Brian, and read it.
Yes, of course. Yes, as you say, this is a book of quite a few poems about love, of which this is the central one, and it's based on a conversation with an Alexa, with an Amazon Alexa. Alexa, what is there to know about love? What is there to know about love? A glove is a garment that covers the hand for protection from the cold or dirt, and Alexa, how does a human heart work? How does a human heart work? Blood is first received in the right atrium via two veins, the vena cava superior and inferior. Alexa, where do we go to when we die? Where do we go to when we die? Activating Google Maps. Completed activation. Would you like to start from your current location? Alexa, what does it mean to be alone? What does it mean to be alone? It is the silence left by words unsaid, the cold expanse of half a bed. It is the endless stretching of the hours, the needless tending of plastic flowers. It is an echo unanswered in a cave, the fateful ping of a microwave. It is the fraying of a worn shirt cuff and the howl. Alexa, stop! That's enough.
Brian Bilson with his poem, Alexa, What Is There to Know About Love? That the title poem in his new and second collection. I'm just wondering how many computers around the country are now going mad, or little speakers in the side of people's rooms trying to answer the questions that you have been asking in that poem, Brian. Did you ask Alexa that question as part of your research, or how did you go about writing the poem in that respect?
Oh, I didn't actually. I don't actually own an Alexa myself. In fact, I don't think I could think of much worse than having somebody in my house listening into me and trying to answer all the questions that I don't really want answering.
Yeah, now that's interesting. The questions that you don't want answering, because it really did strike that poem. Perhaps, and even though I did get you to read it first, it touches on some of the humour that's in the collection. But there's quite a serious side to it as well. So, were you addressing questions that you found difficult to address?
Well, I think in a lot of my poems, although on the surface, they do attempt at some form of humour. I do try to write about things that might resonate more deeply, and as I kind of hope that all kind of poetry does, really. And I think just because something is deemed as being comic, it doesn't doesn't preclude it from being from kind of being more profound as well.
Yeah, because it is, I suppose, it's not often that we put comedy and poetry in the same sentence or in the same place as each other. Is that an annoyance to you? Is it a barrier that you'd like to break down?
Well, I mean, I think there's a grand tradition of humour in poetry, but it often gets a bad rap, and it's often sort of just dismissed as being light verse, and that does annoy me. And I think like all areas of poetry, some poems are good, some are bad, and people's views of what constitutes good poetry or bad poetry kind of depends on the individual and how that is received, because actually even doggerel sometimes can catch somebody's attention and resonate with them in some kind of way. So I think the whole concept of light verse is an irritant.
Yeah, and it's patronizing and dismissive.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. It kind of suggests that that it concerns itself with the trivial, and actually, and what isn't light verse is kind of serious and important and profound in a way that other things can't be.
Your first collection, Brian, was called You Took the Last Bus Home, and that was published in 2016. Now, you've said that you accidentally became a poet via Twitter. Tell us a little bit about how that happened.
Well, it does seem rather accidental, because I joined Twitter not to share poems. In fact, I wasn't really sharing any of my poems with anyone at that stage. And I really joined it to find out what people at work were kind of talking about when they'd say things like, we must really, really kind of streamline our social media strategy. And I had no idea really what they were banging on about. So I thought I'd join. I joined under a pseudonym. And it was only probably after a year or so of being on Twitter that I decided to start, tweeting a few poems out there. And so this wasn't any kind of deliberate strategy. I've never, I've not entered poetry competitions or, been to poetry festivals, etc. So it all seems rather bizarre sometimes.
Yeah, and now you say you entered Twitter under a pseudonym. Was Brian Bilson the pseudonym that you entered under? Because it, like Banksy, and it's often that comparison is made between you and Banksy, that Brian Bilson is the pseudonym and you've remained pretty anonymous, apart from radio interviews where you're not seen and things like that.
the name Brian itself was a name that I'd used previously when I've been doing a bit of other writing. I used to kind of write spoof football match reports, and Brian Bilson struck me as the perfect kind of name for a local football correspondent. And so that was the name I kind of picked when I joined it. So partly so that people didn't really know that I was on Twitter, so I could be at work and spending my day tweeting, and nobody, all of my colleagues were none the wiser.
But presumably some of your colleagues, at least at this stage, have copped on that, oh, he was absent. Oh, that's when Brian Bilson's book of poems appeared. Or, oh, I know that voice from somewhere. That's the guy three desks down from me, or wherever it may be in your particular workplace.
Well, yes, over time, but it was probably 3 or 4 years before anyone really knew that. Even sort of friends and family, I wouldn't really tell them about this secret life of mine.
Your secret poetry life. First date. Will you read that for me? Just as in terms of what I suppose there have been some people known to do what your narrator does in this poem. Let's have a listen.
Okay. First date. With so much in common, that was clear from the start. A marriage of souls like de Beauvoir and Sartre. The connection was instant, almost irrational, simply simpatico, fully compatible. You confessed you love winter, North Yorkshire and cats. Me too, I responded. How amazing is that? You were wild about Wharton. You loved Ethan Frome. His best, I said, thinking I'd read him when home. You praised a revival of Pinter's Dumb Waiter. I nodded along. I should Google that later. The discussion then turned to things that you hated. Tarantino, you thought, was quite overrated. You made some good points, I eventually said. I could always hide that box set under my bed. You spoke of a loathing of poetry that rhymed. I said, yes, that stuff's awful.
And you have another poem, Brian Bilson. That's First Date from the new collection, Alexa, What Is There to Know About Love? But you have another poem where you give some guidelines to young poets, in fact, and you show them how to not rhyme if they so decide to go about doing that. But there's a lot of heartbreak in this book, Brian, a lot of missed opportunities and relationships that seem to go wrong, including between Plato and Mrs. Plato. It has to be said, as far back as that. How much of it is pure imagination? How much of it is based on personal experience in the office that people don't know who you are?
Well, there's a bit of both. I mean, I wasn't knocking around when Mrs. Plato was around. however, it started off purely as a book of love poems. And, the thing is about when you're trying to write about love, you can kind of do that for a certain amount of time. And there are many angles you can go at. You've got obviously romantic love or platonic love, And, you know, there's the happiness that it can bring, but also there is the heartbreak too. And I wanted to kind of show it from lots of different angles, some of which were more personal to me. The only thing is, the problem about sort of waking up every day trying to write a love poem is that it gets rather nauseous after a while. And so I kind of slightly abandoned the project of this being a purely book of love poetry, because I simply got sick of writing them.
Yeah, and you get very political, particularly in is it section three? There are four sections in the book. In this third section of the book, you get quite political with a poem called 57 Varieties, where you give us 57 varieties of Brexit, and the poem immediately afterwards, Hold My Hand and Let's Jump Off This Cliff, which is, again, a direct reference to Brexit and the fact that your doctor has said in the poem, at any rate, the doctor has said, if you jump off this cliff, you could probably die. Have you landed? Do you think you've landed from the jump off the cliff yet, in terms of your own country and in terms of Brexit?
Oh no, I feel like we're still plummeting, which is a slightly kind of scary thought. And I'm not quite sure when it is we're going to hit the ground, but I suspect given the height we're falling from, it won't be a very comfortable landing.
And if it's a height you're falling from, it may take a while before the ground is met.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe you'd read, as we finish up, you'd read a poem called The White House. I think it needs no introduction, but it's interesting given the day that is in it today in Washington, that what you have to say in this poem.
Of course, The White House. He's repainting the White House in washed out tones of white, pale shimmer and frosted death, sour milk and clouded light, bleached lichen in the kitchen, in the bedroom's faded tan, pure white in the Oval Office, the new range from the Dulux clan.
And that's The White House from Brian Bilson and his new collection, Alexa, What Is There to Know About Love? Again, Brian, yeah, it's very funny, but it's very serious within all of that. I presume this was written shortly after the inauguration of the current president or during his term of office.
Well, how could you possibly guess
how
that?
How astute of me to notice. So today we're in the final 24 hours or whatever state Washington is in, time zone wise, we're in certainly the closing moments of the current presidency. Are you more optimistic about the new presidency? Will there be a poem that's a little less scathing than that one coming from your pen?
Well, I hope so. I'm not even sure I'll be writing many poems about Joe Biden. I think I only wrote so many poems about Trump because the kind of felt there was so much to say. Both, both out of anger, but just out of kind of fascination at the same time. You know, and so obviously Biden's a very different character, and I'm hoping that he doesn't. In some ways, I'm hoping he doesn't move me to poetry because it's probably I quite often use poetry almost as in a sort of passive aggressive way to get certain things out of my system. And it would be quite nice just actually not to think about the president of the United States for a while. And, unfortunately, I suspect Trump's not going to go away in a hurry or certainly his legacy won't. So there'll probably be more poems coming to social media on the state of American politics, unfortunately.
Yeah, a bit like the fall from the Brexit cliff. Maybe we haven't reached the ground quite yet. Brian, lovely to speak with you this evening. Thanks for being with us. That's Brian Bilson speaking to us about his current poetry collection, Alexa, What Is There to Know About Love? Sorry if your machine has gone off again. And that book is published by Picador.